Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Amy Coney Barrett, day three, alongside some of the most outrageous campus controversy stories that you need to know about. And also, is there a Democrat civil war that's happening in real time? Nancy Pelosi loses it against Wolf Blitzer. That and so much more here on the Instant Analysis episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. At charliekirk.com/support, you have an opportunity to support our program so that millions of young people can hear the messages that we talk about on this podcast. If this podcast has moved you in any way and you say, I wish that my son, my daughter, my grandson would listen to this program, well, it's made possible when you support us at charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Amy Coney Barrett, day three. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Amy Coney Barrett is gliding through the Senate confirmation process. Not for lack of trying from Democrats. They are doing everything they possibly can to try and destroy the character, undermine the credibility, and trip up a Supreme Court justice who has no notes in front of her at all whatsoever. Meanwhile, Sheldon Whitehouse has, I think Sheldon Whitehouse should buy some FedEx stock because he probably spent a lot of taxpayer dollars at Kinko's. 65 different posters he showed to prove nothing. Senator Mazie Hirono, she's well known for being a fool. Let's go back in the time machine and remember what Senator Mazie Hirono from Hawaii said when she said that all men should just shut up. And that was during the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. She also famously has championed the Green New Deal, which would get rid of airplanes. Not exactly sure how you would travel to the beautiful state of Hawaii without airplanes. And Mazie Hirono, in Cut 10, asked Amy Coney Barrett, or at least she accused her of something around LGBT sexual preference. Play tape of Cut 10.
You use the term sexual preference to describe those in the LGBTQ community. And let me make clear, sexual preference is an offensive and outdated term. It is used by anti-LGBTQ activists to suggest that sexual orientation is a choice. So if it is your view that sexual orientation is merely a preference, as you noted, then the LGBTQ community should be rightly concerned whether you would uphold their constitutional right to marry. I don't think that you use the term sexual preference as just, I don't think it was an accident.
So let me be very clear here. The U.S. Supreme Court, when they ruled on gay marriage, regardless of your opinions on that, you should not be supportive of how they came to that ruling. They overturned other states that had marriage between one man and one woman. If you want to effectuate change, use the legislative branch. Do not use the third article of the U.S. Constitution. The courts are not there to try and make law. And that was the issue with the gay marriage ruling. The issue with the gay marriage ruling was not the issue of marriage. It wasn't. It was overturning states' decisions to be able to decide marriage between one man, one woman. Now, some people wrongly will say, well, what about the federal government getting involved with the civil rights? The 1960 civil rights issue. What about that? Shouldn't, and the answer is absolutely. Explain to me why, through a democratic means, though, a state should not be able to articulate through their citizens what the marital construct is. Marriage should be a state-by-state issue. By the way, marriage should always have been left to the church or the synagogues or religious institutions. The fact that government even got involved in it in the first place shows how we have messed up what was originally a biblical idea. Senator Mazie Hirono kind of went all Brett Kavanaugh here. Let's go to cut 11. It's just, this is how far they're reaching. Play cut 11.
I ask each nominee these two questions, and I will ask them of you. Since you became a legal adult, have you ever made unwanted requests for sexual favors or committed any verbal or physical harassment or assault of a sexual nature?
No, Senator Hirono.
Have you ever faced discipline or entered into a settlement related to this kind of conduct?
No, Senator.
And so the only thing I regret about that whole thing is that Amy Coney Barrett is giving Starbucks tens of millions of dollars. If you look at the of free and earned advertising, because if you look at the clip here that we just played on our program, she has the Starbucks label right there. Senator Josh Hawley, he talked about the anti-Catholic bigotry of Democrat senators. And that's really what this is all about. And he said the ranking member called your Catholic convictions dogma. This is cut 14. Let's hear from the terrific senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley. Play tape.
The ranking member, when you were last before this committee, Judge, for your initial confirmation hearings, the ranking member referred to your Catholic convictions as dogma, that's a quote, that lives loudly within you, picking up the very terminology of anti-Catholic bigotry current in this country a century ago. She wasn't alone. Other senators on this committee last time asked you if you were an Orthodox Catholic. One senator said she worried that you would be a Catholic judge if you were confirmed because of your religious beliefs. I guess as opposed to an American judge, as if you can't be both a devout Catholic and a loyal American citizen.
Senator Josh Hawley makes the terrific argument that the Democrat Party is now steeped in anti-religious views. But let me tell you something that I think that we as Christians and conservatives do not articulate well enough. If Joe Biden or Senator Harris and the Harris administration takes over, the Harris administration will not outlaw churches. They won't. The Harris administration will not silence churches. The Harris administration will not attack Christians. They will silence churches they don't like, and they will shut up Christians that they don't like. You see, the left's playbook, and they did this all throughout totalitarian countries in the 20th century, was not to shut up all religion. It's not to shut up all the churches. It's to squash the ones that are causing problems for the power structure. They'll always allow a small hand-picked group of Christians, of megachurch pastors, that are in alliance with the power structure that Harris wishes to accomplish. The First Amendment is too specific to allow free expression. So instead, Senator Harris, when she becomes president and the Harris administration, they will target the pastors that have been speaking out politically. They'll target the pastors that open up their churches against state and city orders. They'll target the Christians that have been a little bit of a rabble-rouser to what she's trying to accomplish. And she will invite, reward, and praise the churches that come into alliance and agreement with her. So we have to be more specific when we talk about what the Harris administration, what the Democrats are actually trying to achieve with people of faith. And by the way, eventually they will shut those people up too. Eventually. But their first step, their immediate step, will be attempting to turn churches and synagogues against the ones they don't like. To try to pick a couple pastors and elevate them. Look at this guy who stayed totally closed. Look at this guy who endorsed Joe Biden. Look at this pastor. Isn't he wonderful? While they absolutely sweep under the rug the Christians, the pastors, the churches and the charities that run contrary to their dogmatic political worldview. And so when we sometimes articulate what President Kamala Harris would do, I think we do not give the entire picture, because some people refuse to acknowledge that, there'll always be churches in this country. You're probably right for the next couple decades. But what I think does resonate, and what I think is much more persuasive, is whose churches? Is it the disagreeable churches that will still be around? Is it the theologically sound churches that will still be around? Is it the churches that speak up politically that will still be around? Or is it the churches that have BLM signs out front, the eat me last syndrome, please don't audit, investigate, criticize, or come after me? And so when we see this kind of bigotry stemming from Democrats, we must be very clear that they're using it intentionally to go after the specific people of faith that don't make it easier for them to get power. I want to tell you guys about Vincero. Mr. Producer is wearing his Vincero watch. Our whole team wears their Vincero watches, and they're phenomenal. They have the most incredible looking watches at such an incredible price point. For a lot of brands, it's about the bottom line, not the customer. Vincero is different. These guys know just how important it is to look and feel your best. But above all, they treat their customers right, and they always go above and beyond to make sure you're taken care of. That's why they have 20,000 five-star reviews, because you won't find a better made watch than Vincero. Take advantage of 15% off everything at VinceroWatches.com/Kirk. VinceroWatches.com/Kirk. If you visit VinceroWatches.com/Kirk, when you purchase the discount Kirk, it's automatically applied at checkout. It's that easy to shop at Vincero. Like I said, timepieces you will enjoy and wear every single day. It's VinceroWatches.com/Kirk. VinceroWatches.com/Kirk. Our team loves Vincero Watches. VinceroWatches.com/Kirk. Senator Kamala Harris, who really should be the opponent that we are running against, she's unpopular and power hungry. She gave a campaign address on C-SPAN and most cable networks in the Senate hearing, speaking for 15 minutes directly to the American people before even asking Amy Coney Barrett a single question. She did the let me finish thing during the Senate confirmation hearing. It's cut 13. I want to hear what Senator Kamala Harris had to say to the country. Play cut 13.
Well, I imagine you were surrounded by a team of folks that helped prepare you for this nomination hearing.
I have did had. They, did yes.
They, but let me finish if you don't mind.
Oh, I'm did so they, sorry.
Did they inform you of?
Yeah, sorry, Senator Harris. It's getting a little old at this point. She also refused again to answer, Senator Harris did, where she stands on court packing when a reporter caught her outside of the hearing. And I don't quite understand if Senator Harris was there, why she wasn't in the room, why she was Zooming and Skyping in. Not exactly sure about this. She Skyped in from the Hart 112 building, the Hart 216. Why she didn't come into the room is beyond me. But let's play clip 12. Play tape.
Vice President Biden said yesterday that he's not a fan of court packing. Do you agree with that?
I think that Vice President Biden has been very clear with the American people where he stands. The bottom line is that we are 21 days now from an election, and that's where we're focused.
Would you also say you're not a fan of court packing?
What tremendous transparency from Senator Kamala Harris. So she actually did it remotely because she slammed the Republicans for holding an indoor hearing, claiming it would put the janitorial staff and Hill staffers at risk. So that's why, meanwhile, they all pack into an elevator, nine people into the elevator. And so President Donald Trump has to run against Senator Harris. The attacks on Joe Biden are not working. They're not sticking. His favorables are going up, especially amongst persuadable voters. And Senator Kamala Harris will probably get another opportunity to ask questions of Amy Coney Barrett. She tries to give a campaign speech every time she goes on television. And we have seen Amy Coney Barrett handle every single one of these questions beautifully, including Mazie Hirono, as we have mentioned, ask if she's ever been accused of anything in a sexual assault nature, despite her being a devout Catholic and a mother of seven, asking that in front of her children. And what's been very interesting to me, though, is Senator Harris, in her questioning of Amy Coney Barrett, she was much lighter in the way she handled it than her questions of Judge Brett Kavanaugh. And again, the more the Senate Republicans are able to embrace Amy Coney Barrett, I think the better President Trump is going to do electorally and politically. Amy Coney Barrett, even from Democrat observers that we have been talking to at Turning Point Action, have said they're very impressed with her knowledge, her standing, her charisma, her capacity to be able to explain difficult ideas. And in fact, one of my favorite things that Amy Coney Barrett said, and there's a lot of philosophical green space here that we can build out, is cut 16, where Amy Coney Barrett said on the free speech protections in the First Amendment, it's critically important. Let's play that, cut 16.
Well, how about the free speech protections of the First Amendment? Why are those important?
So that minority viewpoints can't be squashed, so that it's not just the majority that can speak popular views. You don't really need the First Amendment if what you're saying is something that everybody wants to hear. You need it when people are trying to silence you.
Well, that sounds like today, doesn't it? The number one issue in America right now is the issue of speech. There's two ways to govern human beings. You can govern them by speaking, talking, persuasion, and convincing, or by force. Amy Coney Barrett also said she believes in the power of prayer. Cut 17.
As a final note, Mr. Chairman, I would like to thank the many Americans from all walks of life who have reached out with messages of support over the course of my nomination. I believe in the power of prayer, and it has been uplifting to hear that so many people are praying for me. I look forward to answering the committee's questions over the coming days.
I can see why the left hates her. Talking about prayer, talking about free speech. There's a reason why they want to win back the White House so badly, because none of this was supposed to happen, and it was Donald Trump to thank for it. When running a business, HR issues can absolutely kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and more. Are you a small business owner looking to save money on HR? HR manager salaries are not cheap, I can tell you from personal experience. They're an average of $70,000 a year. Bambee, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambee, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. Month to month, there are no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambee help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambee.com/Kirk right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambee.com/Kirk. Spelled BAM to the BEE.com/Kirk.
University of Minnesota lecture features 12-step recovery program for whiteness. Lecturer, whiteness has a violent legacy. This is from collegefix.com, thecollegefix.com. Nice website. They do a good job. The University of Minnesota School of Social Work hosted a virtual lecture recently that aimed to teach white people about their white supremacy and how to counteract it by using a 12-step program mirrored after Alcoholics Anonymous. How is this not unbelievably racist? Judging people based on their skin color and using these open-ended, baseless terms like whiteness. The university indicates that the lecture can earn viewers continuing education credits. So University of Minnesota is giving people credit if they sit through a lecture on how to recover from whiteness. Middle school teacher rips student for naming President Trump as person he admires. A Tacoma, Washington middle school teacher took great offense when one of his students named President Trump as a person he admires. This is happening on campuses across the country. Seattle teacher goes a step further and says tells eighth graders that peace is racist and art history is white supremacist. This is Breitbart.com. And one of my favorite ones is the University of Kentucky has now segregated residential assistance
training by race and sent white people to white accountability space. So the left is so woke, the left is trying to be so progressive that they have now decided to indulge in segregation. They're running out of ideas, so the Democrats have decided to rededicate themselves to their KKK roots. Remember, the Democrat Party is the party of slavery, the party of KKK, the party of racism, and the party of judging people based on skin color. University of Kentucky segregated residential assistance training by race. Whites and non-whites training to be residential assistants at the University of Kentucky were segregated according to their race and put through different presentations. It says here that the bias incident support services offered a presentation for the training, allegedly talking about microaggressions and micro invalidations. Absolutely incredible. This is dailywire.com. They also do a nice job. We talk a lot about this at professorwatchlist.org, one of our projects at Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. When you send your child to college, as Dennis Prager says, you will be playing Russian roulette with their values. I want to go to clip 22, which is a video that has been found by Campus Reform, another great organization, Project of the Leadership Institute, where they, a professor said on a Zoom call that the U.S. is baked in white supremacy into the Constitution. Plates cut number 22.
So for Nazi Germany, there was an Aryan nation kind of history. The United States baked in white supremacy into the Constitution. We thought we were never going to see fascism of the Nazi Germany sort ever again. We now have children on the border in cages. We have the criminalization of immigrants. We have a criminal who's a president and who's going down in flames. Don't think he's not.
Don't think he's not. I promise he's going down in flames. My gosh. University of Massachusetts. Let's go to cut 23. I think it's the same rocket scientist still talking about to her students. This is what your kids learn, by the way, when they go to college. Just so you guys understand why parents would send their kids to college right now. I haven't heard very many good reasons recently. Play cut 23.
And look, I didn't used to say Republican Democrat, but now that we have Nazis, we got to do it.
I don't think Donald Trump's a Nazi.
Okay. All right. Great, Mary. This is not the debate I'd like to have. You asked me a question.
Right.
And let's have this offline, okay? I've got to be done with Mary.
No, but excuse.
Trafficking is an abomination, Mary. Yeah. As is a president who is willing to talk in public about having sex with his daughter.
Thank you so much, Professor Shapiro, for an engaging session.
I apologize.
The students are on the lookout for classes that you are teaching in the spring.
Her name, we're going to get her name here. We're going to definitely put her on professorwatchlist.org if she's not already. Get a nice prominent position. Not only does she say, brave student named Mary, by the way, I want to meet Mary. I hope that she runs a Turning Point USA chapter someday at University of Massachusetts. She basically just says, I don't think he's a Nazi. Now, just so you guys understand the significance of what this professor is saying, can you believe that students are going into debt learning this stuff? That we have convinced ourselves that borrowing money you don't have to study this garbage, to go find jobs that don't exist so you can learn from this overpaid, vengeful, venomous leftist to teach you things that are pathologically untrue at University of Massachusetts. And what happens on college campuses does not stay on college campuses. There will be students in that University of Massachusetts class that are exposed from a professor who allegedly knows what she's talking about, which she doesn't. She's never been cross-examined, and she shuts down the opposition opinion when one of her classmates steps up. That is a perfect leftist. They hate speech. They don't believe in it. Jacques Derrida, Michel Foucault, the top writers of the postmodernist left, they don't believe in dialogue. They don't believe in discourse. This professor's name is Esther Shapiro. Let's make Esther Shapiro famous, everybody. Esther Shapiro will be front page of ProfessorWatchlist.org. Esther Shapiro is everything that is wrong with higher education in our country. She says things that are so pathologically untrue. She says, anyone who disagrees with me should shut up. She basically tells Mary, I'm not having this conversation right now. What kind of class is that? This is not surprising from University of Massachusetts. Not surprising this is happening in our country. But here is what happens when you play this out. There will be some dissenting opinion. As Amy Coney Barrett says, the freedom of speech is not for majority opinion, but for minority opinion. And what's very interesting is that it's actually very alarming when you think about it. If this goes unconfronted, all of a sudden you can justify to use force if you think the other side is really that evil. Only two ways to govern human beings. Speaking, talking, convincing, persuasion, or by force. That's it. No middle ground. She yearns for a day. This professor, Esther Shapiro from University of Massachusetts, for a day that we can use force. And she lies pathologically about it. Children in cages on the southern border. Not true. They're in hotel rooms, actually. And any cages that were configured on the southern border was done under President Obama. Criminalized immigration is what she said. If she's talking about border hopping and illegal entry into the United States, then sure, but that's not immigration. It's not. That's breaking and entering. Immigration would be applying, waiting your turn to be granted entry into this beautiful country, following the law. It's not immigration when you just decide to waltz across the borders if you're entitled to live in this beautiful constitutional republic. That's no way that any society should ever govern themselves. It is not moral. It is incredibly immoral. And we're seeing more and more of these stories pop up, none of which surprises us. University of Wisconsin-Madison student government just passed a resolution supporting the removal of the Lincoln statue. Your tax dollars are funding this, everybody. The University of Wisconsin-Madison student government recently voted to approve a resolution that supports the removal of Abraham Lincoln's statue because it serves as a remnant of the school's history of white supremacy. Abraham Lincoln, of course, who waged the Civil War to keep the Union together to abolish slavery. Abraham Lincoln, who himself did more for racial progress in this country than anyone till Martin Luther King Jr. It is so incredibly opposite of the truth. It's a gaslighting, double-speak, double-think tactic that you must be at a university to believe something like this. You must. Where the University of Wisconsin-Madison student government supports the removal of the Lincoln statue. Another professor has called for cops to be strangled, complains about doxing and death threats afterward. Earlier this month, Midwestern State University philosophy professor Nathan June wrote on a Facebook thread, quote, I want the entire world to burn until the last cop is strangled. This is who's teaching your children, by the way. Strangled with the intestines of the last capitalist, who is strangled in turn with the intestines of the last politician. How incredibly tolerant. How do these people, how are they allowed to become professors? I'll tell you why. Because we as conservatives and as Americans have not contested in the higher education landscape for decades. That's why Turning Point USA is doing what we're doing. On the educational side, to play offense with a sense of urgency, say, oh, maybe a professor shouldn't be saying that cops should be strangled and choked with their intestines. Maybe Abraham Lincoln's statue should still be standing at University of Wisconsin-Madison. The country will unravel if this stuff goes unconfronted. Young people matter more than any other demographic, of course, in the direction of the country. That is obvious. And conservatives have done next to nothing to actually impact education and culture. And so our young people are under attack on these university campuses. They are. They are not teaching students that conservatives are wrong. They're teaching young people that conservatives are bad. And once that Rubicon is crossed, once you go across that bridge, all of a sudden you can legitimize and validate any form of force or retaliation if you think the other side is evil, not just incorrect. People say, where is the divide coming from in our country? How about you go to a college campus? You might see exactly where it's coming from. Here's the thing about home security companies. Most trap you with high prices, tricky contracts, and lousy customer support. Crime is going up in major cities. What are you doing to protect your home from criminals? That's why we partner with SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe has everything you need to protect your home with none of the drawbacks of traditional home security. It has an arsenal of sensors and cameras to blanket every room, window, and door tailored specifically for your home. Professional monitoring keeps watch day and night, ready to send police, fire, and medical professionals if there is an emergency. You can set it up in under an hour. All of this starts for $15 a month, and we're not the only ones that think SimpliSafe is great. U.S. News and World Report named it the best overall home security system of 2019. Try SimpliSafe today at simplisafe.com/Charlie. You get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. There's nothing to lose. That's simplisafe.com/Charlie.
Something really bizarre is happening in our country. The last couple days, the activist media has actually been asking questions of Democrats. Maybe they are actually afraid that if Trump loses re-election, their ratings are going to plummet. Maybe they're actually afraid that when President Harris takes the oath of office, that she might go after them if they don't pair the line of state-run television. Jake Tapper is going after the Biden campaign person. And it's gotten so heated at CNN that Nancy Pelosi says that CNN is an apologist network for Republicans. And let's play cut 7 of Nancy Pelosi just going crazy on Wolf Blitzer.
We'll leave it on the vote that you are not right on this, Wolf, and I hate to say that to you. But I feel confident about it, and I feel confident about my colleagues, and I feel confident in my chairs.
And it's not about me. It's about millions of Americans who can't put food on the table, who can't pay the rent.
And we represent them. And we represent them. And we represent
these long food lines.
And we represent them.
I know you are.
We know them.
I'm just saying.
We represent them and we know them.
As we
say. We know them. We represent them.
Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, as they say.
It is nowhere near perfect.
Madam Speaker.
Always the case, but we're not even close to the good.
All right, let's see what happens, because every day is critically, critically important. Thanks so much
for
joining us.
Thank you for your sensitivity to our constituents' needs.
I am sensitive to them because I see them on the street begging for food, begging for money. Madam Speaker, thank you so much.
Have you fed them? We feed them. We feed them.
Nancy Pelosi virtue signaling against Wolf. First of all, Nancy, you don't feed anyone, okay? You appropriate multi-trillion-dollar spending bills of money that you don't have. You're part of the ruling class. Have you fed them with your $13 ice cream? You're such a good person, Nancy Pelosi. Wolf Blitzer, thank you. Where have you been the last 4 years? Some questions would have been nice before she became Speaker of the House. And Nancy Pelosi said she said that CNN is an apologist network for Republicans. So her and Wolf Blitzer have been going back and forth on the stimulus bill. I think we do have cut 6 now. Let's play cut 6.
Quote Ro Khanna, a man you know well. I assume you admire him. He's a Democrat. And he just said this. He said, people in need can't wait until February. $1.8 trillion is significant and more than twice the Obama stimulus. Make a deal. Put the ball in McConnell court. So what do you say to Ro Khanna?
What I say to you is, I don't know why you're always an apologist. And many of your colleagues, apologists for the Republican position.
Did you hear that? Nancy Pelosi actually believes that the CNN network is an apologist for the Republican position. That's a new one. What's really interesting, though, is I think that you're starting to see the beginning stages of what will be the Bolsheviks versus the Mensheviks. Win or lose in early November, after Donald Trump's re-election attempt, which we pray will be successful, this kind of back and forth between Wolf Blitzer and Nancy Pelosi will materialize into the Russian Revolution equivalent of the Bolsheviks versus the Mensheviks. Who's going to get power of the Democrat Party? And guess what? AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, Bernie Sanders, they have the energy. They have the enthusiasm. They have the base of the Democrat Party. Nancy Pelosi is nothing more than a machine politician. And Wolf Blitzer is kind of just for the first time in the last 5 years. He just has taken off 5 years. Since Donald Trump came down the escalator, Wolf Blitzer has been an apologist for you, Nancy Pelosi. And he just asks one simple question out of you and you lose it because Nancy Pelosi does not believe in dialogue. She doesn't believe in opposition ideas. She doesn't believe in criticism. She believes in power, transactional power. There's a Democrat civil war coming. I think the country and the republic will benefit as soon as that happens. Because as soon as they lose the one thing that they can agree on, which is hatred of Donald Trump, they're actually going to have to sort out their differences. They're going to have to struggle for power. And you're starting to see a preview of that. You're starting to see the fireworks begin. Win or lose, the Democrats are going to be in a very tough position because they're going to have to govern. And Democrats are awful at governance. As soon as the light gets shined on them, their corruption, their deals, their awful worldview and their philosophy will be totally and completely exposed. What a great episode that was. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Get engaged, get involved with Turning Point USA, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win America's culture war. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Hit subscribe and give us a 5-star review. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. Listen to our sister episode, which is a very important episode. God bless. Talk to you soon.